very encouraging regarding what he is going to do for us. He said he had a box in his office, and we would simply cut out the face of it and then write on there, "We'll work for travel expenses." And he'll make it big enough so that Shirley can hold it out on the road like this, as my wife looks pitiful on the side of the road. And he says, "We'll have to get a real sad look." And I said, "Why don't you make the box big enough so we can just stay in it on a nightly basis?" I think somehow all those statements I've made regarding people living in boxes is going to come back to haunt me. From time to time, I am grateful for other than Bob Thieme and men like him for things that come into my visual presence and academic challenge. And in this case, I am thankful for a man by the name of Dr. Lauren Fisher, who is a professor at Western Conservative Baptist Theological Seminary in Oregon. And he came up with what I consider a rather detailed, as well as putting it in one term and simple sentences regarding the spiritual gifts that I've taught so far. And I'd like to give you that this evening. While you were singing, I was frantically cramming so that I could get all this information. And since I've memorized it all now, we have it, and I want to give it to you. We studied, for example, and you might try to analyze yourself in the light of some of these gifts. I have more than I've taught. In other words, there are gifts that I have these analyses on that I haven't given you yet. And so what I plan on doing in the future is, as we develop these particular gifts, I will give you an analysis, first by definition, and generally they're just kind of a one-word characterization of the individual, and then a small or a very brief definition which also characterizes the individual. As I was looking over the ones that I've taught you so far, a few of these I come very, very close. In fact, one, I just fit the bill completely. One, I don't fit the bill at all. I mean, I'm just absolutely, it's just the opposite of what I am and what I know of myself and what my interests as far as the exercise of my spiritual gift. See if you can pick out, not mine, but yours. And don't sit there and go, "Yeah, you have a problem there," and so on. No, try to be objective, but at the same time, with some subjectivity, look introspectively and say to yourself, "Yeah, yes, well." Now remember that in certain areas you may need development. So don't discount it, because at the present time, in your spiritual growth, you haven't reached that particular place. But if you come out, let's say, if I give you 10 definitions and you come out 8 of the 10, it's pretty close. The one I read, I came out 1 out of the 10, and that was even weak. So you can see that that's not my expertise. The word of knowledge. The one word that seems to characterize these individuals, and by the way, by saying one word, it's just not one word, but it's a kind of a one or a two-word analysis, and I'll give you a list of them. Firstly, they're doctrinally fluent. Secondly, they're detailed. Third, they're thorough. Fourth, dependable. Five, academic. Six, searching. Seven, data-centered. Eight, scientific. Nine, task-oriented. And 10, authoritative. Now, in looking over this simple list of definitions that characterize the one who has the ability to arrange the facts of Scripture, to characterize them and categorize them into principles, and then, if necessary, to communicate them, but even in their communication of them, some find it difficult to understand them because of the fact that they are so detailed, because of the fact that they become extremely academic, and because of the fact that they are so scientific. They get very much involved in the technical aspects. They love all the technical aspects. And most people really could care less. The phrase definitions, these little sentences that characterize them, listen to them. Man's done a great job. I agree with them wholeheartedly. Enjoys digging for facts and details. Notice, enjoys, not does it because he has to. Studies thoroughly and persistently. Prefers study to talk. That was this guy. I'd rather study, lock himself in a room somewhere, than spend time talking. Avoids games and personal discussions. The type of people that I've met in this particular category, by avoiding games, they don't like games in life, and they don't really enjoy games as such, because games seem to be such a waste of time. And personal discussions, quite frankly, they're not impressed with what other people happen to think on a particular subject, because they haven't done the background study that this person has done. See, that's the idea. As a matter of fact, you'll see a little later, they become quite intolerant. Seeks to be precise. Likes to talk to well-informed people. And so he's selective with whom he converses. Just doesn't talk to anybody. Researches to find new information or data. Becomes impatient with people that fail to learn. Sticks to a project until it's completed and appears logical, scientific, and serious. I think it's a great analysis of that kind of a person. You ever met anybody like this? Sure. The second is the word of wisdom. I remember we said this morning, and I've repeatedly told you this in the last few weeks, the one who possesses the word of wisdom is able to take the word of knowledge and convey it in simple, everyday terms. Listen to this one. Simple word definitions. Again, I think we have 10. Is articulate, exemplary, insightful, dependable, practical. A synthesizer, and I'm not talking about music now. He's able to take all of these complexities, you see, and synthesize them, and then allow them come out in a flow of, I'll be rather poetic at this point, a crescendo of sound doctrine. Behavior conscious. Stresses more the attitude of the behavioral patterns of the believer than the technical aspects related to the thing that makes him tick. He's a mediator, prudent, and resourceful. Here are some of the phrases that define an individual that has this particular gift. Understands complex matters quickly. Makes decisions without hesitation. Puts ideas into words easily. This type of person, by the way, is never lacking for words, but they're not just meaningless words. The interesting thing about a person like this is that even though their words might be simple, they carry a tremendous amount of weight. I can think of three people in the scriptures. If I were to characterize the Apostle Paul, I would characterize him more in the area of the word of knowledge. But if I were to characterize the Apostle James, I would characterize him more in the word of wisdom, with the emphasis on the practicality. And then the ability to use simple terms that carry profound meanings, the Apostle John. Now, I'm not trying to leave out Peter or any of the other New Testament persons. I'm just simply using them as an illustration. And I'm sure Peter would not be upset, because after all, he told us, if we wanted to know profound things, to read Paul's epistles. Puts ideas into words easily. Takes details and puts them together to make a complete picture. Man's a very logical thinker. And he can take all of these varying details and makes a picture of it. In other words, he can take all the pieces of the puzzle and it all fits. Seeks to know God's view in daily activities. Assumes responsibility for tasks undertaken. Identifies problems. Negotiates acceptable course of action for self and others in difficult situations. See, he's rather practical, and in some cases, pragmatic. Recommends practical solutions that work. Lives confidently and consistently. The word of wisdom. You see the balance? I kind of looked at these two the two types of people that run computers. The word of knowledge would be the IBM people, and the word of wisdom would be the Macintosh people. Well, as long as you have a mouse and pictures, you can run a Macintosh. But you see, the IBM people, they've got to have some real knowledge about the machine, because it's so complex and deep. Sorry about that. I just had to say that. I just lost half of my IBM people my Mac people, and they'll have an issue with me afterwards. That's okay. We'll talk bytes and bits a little bit. The gift of exhortation. Boy, did I fail this one. I mean, I failed this one so badly that I didn't even want to read it. But let me give it to you anyway. Emphatic. That's the only part I think I got. Fineness or finesse. Strategist. Versatile. People-centered. Interactive and supportive. Insightful. Optimistic, motivational, self-disclosing. The phrases that define this type of an individual. Makes time to be available to assist others. Sticks with people through thick and thin. Sees creative options when facing problems. Enjoys people. Understands feelings and attitudes of others. Confronts without being offensive. Works, and by the way, I'm not trying to pass this course, you understand. Because this is definitely not moi. Persists without becoming discouraged. shows deep concern for people who are going through difficulties and views problems as an opportunity for growth. Well, let's get off that one. The gift of discernment. Is this boring you, or are you interested in this stuff? I think it's great. Are you trying to write it all down? You know, we could do. We could just have Bob run this all off and give it to you after I... Then you can take your own test. I should have told you that at 8:15, after your arms go like this, and then say, oh, by the way, we have copies of this available. I just didn't want to have them in front of you because I wanted to see you write with pain. Because I have such a compassion for people and I enjoy people so much. And I know how to be thoughtful of others and understand the feeling and attitudes of others. The gift of discernment, listen to it, perceptive, aware, confident, troubleshooter, people-centered, discriminating, intuitive, critically authoritative, insightfully precise, and integrates the Word of God with living. Definition. Evaluate situations quickly and accurately. Secondly, spots the weak spots in a presentation. Sees hidden motives or agendas. Pinpoints difficulties when things go badly. Applies biblical principles to making decisions. Identifies the motive and intent of others. Criticizes inconsistency and insincerity. Utilizes biblical concepts to troubleshoot perplexing situations. Trusts intuitive feelings even though he's not necessarily sure why. And speaks out to prevent and to protect others from deception. Interesting. The gift of faith. Committed, and I don't mean institutionalized. Enthusiastic. Innovative. Decisive. And I think this is the one that is probably the strongest when an individual has this gift. A persuasive visionary. Outspoken. In some cases, gregarious. Persistent. Excuse me. Perseverant. Courageous. Goal-oriented, and a leader. Definitions that characterize this individual. Changes quickly from one task to another. See, this is the type of guy who has the faith that it's going to get done and just simply drops that one and goes on to another one. Why? Because it's going to get done. Now, it's not that he doesn't have any objectives or that he's just sloppy. Or he's a procrastinator. Don't you ever put procrastination in this and say, well, that's the way I am. I just start one project and go on to another one. No. And you don't finish any of them. No, this guy is assured that it's going to get done and so he can move on. The problem is, if he gets together with a guy that has the gift of knowledge, they're almost intolerant of each other. They have great difficulty in relating to each other. Because the one wants to study it all, be precise, sit there and get everything evaluated out, know where the T's are crossed and the dots are in the right place and everything is just exactly the way it should be. This person just sees it and has faith that it's going to be done and he says, praise the Lord, and he moves on. The other guy says, wait a minute. And the one with discernment says, slow down. Have you stopped to think of the logical ramifications of such a thing? See, I'm playing with this now. Sets the pace for others. In other words, he's a pace setter. Persuades others to join in on projects. Makes decisions and acts quickly. Doesn't dilly-dally. See, a lot of you make decisions and you don't act. This is a guy that makes a decision and he's right there and he's doing it. See, he's putting practice to his faith. He says, hey, it's got to get done. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? And so here's the one with the word of knowledge. Now, let's study this a little bit. And then everybody says, well, I don't understand him. So the gift of wisdom comes along and says, let me tell you in practical terms what he just said. Okay? Then the one of discerning spirits comes along and says, I wonder what he really thinks deep down underneath. And the one with the gift of exhortation just gets everybody together and says, come, let us reason together. Let's have a meeting. And he's effective counseling one-on-one or counseling one-on-many. The guy with a word of knowledge has no tolerance with counseling at all, can't stand it. Is it absolutely intolerant? Because people have problems. And he says, why do you have problems? Just apply the word. See the difference? You want to hear the counseling I gave the other day? Now hold on. I'm talking to a person who apparently has the gift. And so we're talking, and I said, well, you know how I would have reacted to a given situation? And the person said, how? And I said, well, I'd have said, well, get your ass in Bible class, and I'd have take care of the situation. Great counsel, right? That isn't very sympathetic. There's not a lot of words involved there. Oh, I have a problem. Come to Bible class! I don't have the gift of exhortation. I don't like to listen to people's problems. I have one solution for their problems. Shut up and come to Bible class. Gift of faith says it's going to be taken care of. And they trust that it's going to be taken care of. Gift of discernment says, are you sure? I know that person. But you see, they all work to the balance of the entirety. That's the beauty of it. You'll find, by the way, that some of these gifts even exist, and I'm convinced that they must exist in balance within a family relationship. Wouldn't it be awful if they both had the word of knowledge? Husband and wife? Oh, brother, talk about competition. No, it's 1/1,000th of an inch off. No, that picture is not hanging exactly the way it should. See, my wife is satisfied that the picture is hanging. As far as I am concerned, it better be straight, perpendicular, and the same distance from every part of the house, symmetrically. And there's a beam to hang it on. And there's a beam to hang it on, yeah. My son does not appreciate my attitude with that regard. Occasionally he comes into my office and he uses the phone. Now, my computer is so designed and so set up that everything is measured exactly the same on both sides. From the wall to the front to the back, side to side, there's a certain amount of space to allow for the mouse cord and the cord for the keyboard. The keyboard has to be so many inches away from the box, which happens to be so many inches away from the edge. The monitor is so much afar from the edge of the table where I sit so that the distance is within my bifocal range. And the printer has to be in a certain place, square to the end of... Yeah. You go right now and you'll see it that way. And he gets on there and he starts pushing things around. My telephone must sit on my modem exactly the way I want it to sit and has to be pushed so far back into its area. just enough room for me to stick my hand in and push the button to turn it on. And then all my drives, all my floppies, must be arranged exactly the way I arrange them, distances being proportionate on both sides. He uses the phone. He doesn't care. No, you don't put your Coke glass on my mouse pad. That's the sin unto death. I'm running along, all of a sudden, cluck, and my mouse is stuck to the pad. Coke juice from the night before. No, no, no. And no dust at all in that area. That's who I am. You put up with that? My wife does. So how does she do that? She stays out of the room. Occasionally she comes in with a vacuum, and I stand there and I look. She says, "It won't be long, dear." All right. Don't touch that. Don't. Hey, you got your problems, I got mine, she has hers. Pray for her. But see, I don't sit there and say, "Everything's going to work out." I don't have that. Tackles the seemingly impossible. I avoid them like a plague. Places confidence and rests in God. Well, I think that's faith rest for all believers, and don't confuse it. Remains determined in spite of difficulties. Challenges others to do what needs to be done. Did you get that? Challenges others to do what needs to be done. I'm the type, I don't challenge people, I just do it, because I don't think they can do it. Yeah. Yeah, get out of my way. I'll do it. Leads out with new ideas. No, I stick with the old standbys. 20s, 30s, 40s. Sees the big picture of what is possible. Great man of insight. You have to have them in a local church. That's what gives advance. Now, may I just challenge you with this before I go too much further with it? Don't expect one person's going to have all these gifts. As a matter of fact, if he did, it would blow his mind. He couldn't. How could he be precise on one hand and evaluate everything with absolute scientific strategy, and then on the other hand say, "Well, I'm going to take care of it." And I'm not looking at it frivolously. This guy has the gift of faith, and in fact says, and can totally rest in the fact that God is going to, "You're going to move that mountain. I want to use dynamite." He believes God can move it. The gift of teaching. Group-centered, comprehensive, responsible, precise, consistent, systematic, logical, prepared, analytical, and exemplary. Definitions. Employs a logical, systematic approach. Secondly, I will smile when I read this one. Feels people need a response once they know. Feels people need to respond once they know. In other words, you heard it, that's it. Why aren't you doing it? That's what a teacher feels. Evaluates matters clearly and concisely. Summarizes information easily. That's review. Picks out main points quickly in a presentation. Models exemplary behavior to others. And by the way, I didn't say you have to pass all of these. Studies cautiously and diligently. Gives attention to detail. Avoids, and I'm going to add to it, despises impromptu situations, that which is out of the norm, and prefers group rather than one-on-one situations. Sound familiar? Boy, did I pass this in my mind. But some of these, you see why God has distributed different gifts to different people for the working of the entirety. Perfect balance. The one that wants to rush ahead and the other that says, be cautious. But not to the point where he's negative. It's just that insight is saying, hey, the one with the gift of faith says, the Lord can do it. And the other one says, are you sure? And he's not suggesting the Lord is not able to do it. It's just he doesn't have that gift. It's just like, I think you'll appreciate it if I use this illustration. About 15 years ago, a friend of ours gave me a musical instrument. And he said, you've always wanted one of these, and I picked one up. Here, it's for you, it's a gift. I thanked him very much, but when he left, I took one look at it, and I said to my wife, if this is the best these people can build, and so I said to her, I'm going to build another one. I'm going to build one from scratch. Well, most of you know, that's when it started. But some people said, what? Other people said, well, where'd you go to school to learn how to do that? Or, where'd that come from? And I said, right here. It's a natural gift. Okay? It's a natural gift. And I enjoy doing it, naturally. Same with a spiritual gift. Now somebody else comes along and says, man, I don't understand how, I mean, you know, almost like, what's his name? Columbo. I mean, how'd you do that? Or is it this one? I'm not sure. For one person, it's easy. For another person, it's difficult. But you see, if you got somebody who, for example, in business, one who builds, another who's a salesman, and another one who goes around with the product and does your advertising for you, all businesses have to have people in the areas of expertise. They're gifts. Naturally. Same in the church. And God has sovereignly distributed throughout the entire assembly. And I believe for each assembly, a designated balance of spiritual gifts. That's why it's important for you to understand not only your task in the Christian life as a whole, but your geography, where you do what you do, because you may be able to fill in the necessary. And let me tell you something, there'll never be a conflict. Each one will slightly overlap the other so that the whole thing is viewed as one beautiful picture. That's God's plan. And I'm very thankful to this man for spending the time to go over these things so that I could use them tonight. I just got them about 2 minutes. You know when Bob left and he says, he told Cindy, play one more song, I have to get something. That's what he gave me. Now you want to have them, right? Well, I'm not going to give them to you. Because I don't have the gift of serving others. Now you're going to have to wait till I get through with these. Because I still have a bunch more to do. Then we'll run them off for you. How's that? My wife will be so kind. She's even that thoughtful. See, I'm not that thoughtful. She even punches holes in there. I won't do that. I said, let them wear them out with a pencil. I'm really between two as far as what I'll teach in Arkansas. I'd love to teach this stuff. But then again, I want to teach marriage. But then again, I want to teach authority. So what I may teach is on the authority of spiritual gifts in marriage. It's getting longer and longer, isn't it? For the preservation of that marriage. That's my intent. But I found out that I'm no longer teaching on the preservation of marriage because the family conference has been shut down. So now it's just the adults, both single and married. Well, why not? The single are intending to get married. And those that are want to know what they're doing wrong. I'll come up with something. The authority in marriage and the exercise of your spiritual gifts for the preservation of that marriage. Too long? How about the gift of marriage? With a poem. Let's pray you're dismissed. That covers at least the ones that I've given you so far. We left off this morning, you remember, with the gift of teaching. We still have to cover the gift of giving, the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, many other gifts. So if I didn't hit you tonight, there are other things coming up. By the way, if I get through with this, and you come up short on every one, bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord, I may not be saved. Because you have a gift, and it better start emerging. Either that, or I'm a lot younger in the Lord than I thought I was. Because some of this should have touched some of you tonight. And more than others. The more you grow, the more intense these will become. And you'll actually be able to say, ooh, that is not I. And this is definitely me. Now, I used correct grammar the first time and incorrect grammar the next time. How many people caught it? Two. It should have been, this is not I, and this is definitely not I. Doesn't sound right, does it? But is, you remember, is intransitive. And therefore takes I. Technical? Yes. But remember, that's what a teacher is all about. The one of faith says, whatever. The Lord will take care of it. And he's right, he will. It's the beauty of the thing. It all works together. Perfect and beautiful balance of the well-being of the body. Father, we thank thee for this analysis. Thy word has so much to say about the body and how it functions together to the glorification of thyself. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.